In the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, back in grad school, one of my buddies was dating a girl that, if I'm honest, we all thought was out of his league. Is it okay for me to say that in the pulpit tonight? Yeah, maybe. Okay, good. Now, don't get me wrong, he was a nice guy, but when he first started dating his soon-to-be wife, none of us thought he had a chance with her. I mean, she was beautiful and stylish and classy and talented, and, well, he wasn't, okay? Then came the wedding day. At first, things were pretty ordinary until it came time for their first dance as husband and wife. Halfway through the dance, my buddy looked over to the band leader and winked, and suddenly their classic slow jam transformed into a throbbing salsa. And he preened around the dance floor with a kind of suave and debonair that none of us had ever seen from him before. Slowly, the story started to emerge through the crowd of excited guests. Salsa dancing, as many there knew, was one of the bride's great passions, and it had always been a source of grief for her that her fiancé didn't share her love or talent. And so in the year between the engagement and the wedding, he secretly attended salsa classes each week diligently for 52 weeks. His new wife was at the same time overwhelmed and overjoyed. In a moment, she realized there might be a whole lot more to her new husband than the nice guy that she thought she was marrying. Now, on the one hand, when you hear a story like that, you got to be thinking, how romantic, right? But on the other, isn't at least some part of you thinking, man, that's a little scary too, isn't it? Because if I'd been that bride, I'd been thinking, I wonder what other secrets he's got up his sleeve. And maybe even, I wonder if they're all as happy as this one is. And that's the thing about secrets. If it's sitting under the Christmas tree and it's only a few weeks from Christmas and you made it absolutely clear that you don't want another shapeless sweater or cookbook, then the chances are it's a good secret. But if you've been calling and texting your brother and he won't respond, even though you know he's addicted to his smartphone, and you start to worry that it's a secret that's going to turn your whole world upside down. Now, I say all this because the lessons we read and the carols we sing tonight also seem to be disclosing a secret. Someone is coming who will bring light to those who are in darkness, execute justice, destroy death, save us from our sins, and establish the reign of God forever. But the slow revelation of all these things could lead us to wonder, why all the secrecy, God? Isn't it about time for you to let us in on it? But what I want to suggest tonight is that there's a profound difference between a secret and a mystery. You could even say that a mystery is the opposite of a secret. When a secret's disclosed, it's over and gone. But when a mystery's revealed, it's only just begun. A mystery draws you in ever deeper the more that you enter into it. The fact that my buddy hid going to salsa classes for a year was a secret, a good secret, but still liable to elicit doubt and anxiety. But the depth of his love, a love that showed patience and reserve, a love that was willing to work hard and long to make his bride happy and to bond the two of them together, that depth is a mystery. And what I want to suggest tonight is that Advent invites us to consider not a secret, but a mystery. Let me try to show that by telling two more stories and then I'll be done. The first took place when I was in seminary traveling overseas and trying to meet up with a friend who was studying abroad. Our meeting point was a pub in London, and after navigating some foreign terrain to get there, I was pretty proud of myself for arriving at the pub on time. Now, this was back in the days before we had cell phones with international plans, which meant I had no way of reaching my friend. So when I searched the pub and couldn't find him, All I could do was sit down and wait. After an hour of waiting, I'd gone through my full range of possible responses. Anger about his lateness, anxiousness that I was in the wrong place, anger about all the wasted time, worry that something had happened to him, anger about all the other things I could have been doing. Maybe you see a pattern there. So when I finally saw him walk up to where the bar and order a pint, I shouted, "Where the heck have you been, man?" Only to realize he was shouting the very same thing back at me. As it turns out, the pub had an upstairs, and he had been waiting there for me the whole time. Now think again about our questions about God making everything a big secret. It feels like God's upstairs and we're downstairs. We've got no idea why God has to make it all so difficult. It's hard enough to trust that God's really with us at all. To think that God's just stringing us along undermines what little trust we may have. But the moment my friend came down the stairs and came into the world I knew, everything changed. And so it is with Jesus. The moment Jesus comes into the world, what was hidden for long ages is disclosed. The hints of hope become a revelation of grace. The secret becomes a mystery. Here's the second story. I've just told you a story about what a secret feels like. Here's what a mystery feels like. The 1990 film Awakenings tells the story of an epidemic of sleeping sickness that sweeps across the New York City area in the 1920s. A series of children enter a catatonic state and we are taken into a hospital in the Bronx where they remain for the next 40 years. It's a tragic movie on the whole, but in it we see one profound image of grace. In an astonishing scene, one patient, Leonard, wakes up and goes through several gradual stages of recognition. After slowly coming to grips with the fact that he's been asleep for 40 years, he eventually becomes aware of a woman who's in his periphery, sitting by his bedside. In time, he realizes this isn't just any woman. He dimly perceives that this woman is his mother, now very elderly. And then the mystery truly begins to unfold. He realizes, and we realize with him, that this woman has remained faithfully with him throughout this unimaginable 40-year period. She has come back and shown up every day. Day after day, year after year, with very few signs of life or hope, until this precious moment when he finally wakes up. And as his heart opens up to her, we too are drawn into awe and wonder. What kind of love is this that would continue to appear and be present and kneel at his bedside day after day for 15,000 days. And in all that awe and wonder and love, we know that this is mystery. This is the depth of a mystery, that the more you get to know the story that we tell in these lessons tonight, the more absorbing and awesome and astonishing it really is. And this is the mystery of God. God's not hanging around upstairs, too busy or absent-minded to recognize that we're downstairs, growing anxious and angry and needy and exasperated. God has come downstairs to reveal the mystery at the heart of the universe. Here is a fragile infant, not shrouded in a cloak of secrecy or even wearing salsa dancing shoes, but wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, as vulnerable and in need of relationship as you and me. And this fragile infant is God incarnate. And because of this, we know God is not upstairs. God is at our bedside, attending to every gesture, seeking life in our every breath, and longing for us to wake up and receive the life and love that is shaped to be with us. At Christmas, God gives us an invitation. Will you let yourself be engulfed in that mystery? Will you be absorbed by that awesome presence and be lost in the dance of love with God forever?